You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 29 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 23rd, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're your hosts for our weekly conversation about technology topics and especially how they relate to your ministry. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How's the weather in Milwaukee this morning?
Actually, I went from the house to the garage to the car to the office, and you know, I think the sun is shining. It's not
you
too bad.
You didn't notice, huh?
It's not too bad. Well, it wasn't raining, I guess I could tell you that, and it wasn't overly oppressive. So
We had some stormy weather and sleepy eye this week and took out my internet connection. I was kind of lost without it, so We've reestablished our connection, and I'm feeling better.
Yeah, we were actually on a Skype call together, and all of a sudden, you know, your line went dead. And
My backyard was full of limbs.
The line was lying on the ground there.
It was. So a little bit of excitement. And I think it actually took a roof off of one building in town. We had a lot of trees down.
It wasn't a tornado, though, was it? Just heavy wind?
No, they didn't. Yeah, just some straight line winds, but they were very strong. It was quite the event.
Well, there's not much out there on the plane to stop that wind.
No, so you just have to head to the basement when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, no, we've been having great weather here. I appreciated it too because I'm starting to build my first deck. So I've been navigating the treacherous waters of building codes and letter of the law village inspectors who say, you know, that hole can't be 47 inches. It needs to be 48 inches deep. So I've got the blisters on my hand to prove, you know, the manual labor, you know, that I went through this weekend to dig 12 48-inch deep holes, 12 inches wide, 48 inches deep for footings for our deck. So that's behind me at this point. We filled them with cement, and now this week, hopefully, after work, I can actually get something up that looks hopefully similar to a deck. At least that's my wife's hope.
Sounds like a fun summer project.
I've been promising this to her for 3 years since, or 4 years now, almost 4 years since we moved in. It didn't come with a deck, so we'll give it a shot. Anyway, we're not going to talk about decks on the show today, but we are going to, I'm very excited about what we're talking about because we have not really addressed this on a show, and we're in our 29th show, and it's probably long overdue. And that's talking about how technology can assist in ministering to those who are disabled in some fashion, those who have some kind of handicap or an ability to do something that, you know, maybe the rest of us take for granted. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to play a wonderful interview with Pastor Carl Ziemer, who is the administrator for Special Ministries of the Synod, enlightening us a little bit about what they're doing with technology and how they're helping minister to the needs of people with special needs. We're going to talk a little bit about websites, especially, and how they can become more what we would call ADA compliant. Maybe we should start with defining terms a little bit, Sally. What are we talking about when we talk about ADA compliant?
Well, ADA stands for the American Disabilities Act, right. And when we started researching this, we were kind of surprised. We went to ada.gov and landed on a Department of Justice page.
Right.
But basically, it is a legal act that businesses and individuals need to comply with to make things accessible for those with disabilities.
Now, when we talk about websites and ADA compliance, there's no law that says your website must be ADA compliant. But because we're dealing with ministry, and as you'll hear in the interview with Pastor Ziemer, a largely untapped audience of visually and hearing impaired individuals, many of them are unchurched. So this would be an area where we'd want to pay attention to. And even our own members who have difficulties, perhaps, in viewing our websites because we haven't thought through making them accessible.
Right. There's just some really simple things that you can do on your website. We actually found a great web page that we're going to share a link to with 10 easy tips just to make you more aware of things that make the website accessible to those, say, that can't actually see the website.
Yep.
Or that can't listen to maybe your audio and video content that you're putting out on the website. Just little nuances, basically, to the work that you're already doing on your website that make it more readable or accessible for those with disabilities.
And maybe we don't have to dwell a long time on this list, but let's just give them a sampling, Sally, of some of those tips, because they are, some of them are common sense, but some of them are a little bit geeky, so you have to understand how HTML works and how a web page is built. But unfortunately, that's what you need to do to make your website a little bit more accessible.
Right. One of the first ones right off the bat is including descriptive tags. In the behind-the-scenes HTML coding, you can add descriptions for images and audio and video, things like that, maybe even graphs and charts that you include on your web page. So if people can't see the visual, they can read the description or have the description read to them.
Mm-hmm.
You do that with images. You use an alt tag in the HTML coding. And many of our websites that have kind of nice WYSIWYG text editors and things prompt you for that alt tag, won't even let you add an image unless you add the alt tag with that image, just to make your site more compliant for those with disabilities.
Yeah, very important, yeah.
Right. With graphs and charts, you can use a long description attribute in your HTML coding and just explain what the chart is and things.
Go ahead, Sally.
No, just going to mention, you know, on the audio and video side, also including some kind of a description of what's there. And that can go from just a basic summary all the way to a full-blown transcript of what's included there.
One of the things that I think we have to watch out for is we begin to incorporate more audio and video into our sites is the fact that those don't translate well, obviously, for people with disabilities. So you have to take some care into, you know, putting information on there that is going to be accessible by those who perhaps can't see or can't hear and are using assistive devices. There are a lot of tools out there that will essentially read websites for somebody who necessarily can't see them or can't see them very well. But maybe the most simple tip of all is just to keep your site as straightforward as possible if you're concerned about being ADA compliant. Make sure that the text is lined up appropriately, that you're using those alt tags, that you're typing out the links. And, you know, some sites, you know, we're making a lot of use of Flash and animation and those kinds of things, are not real ADA friendly. So there's a number of good tips, and we'll put again the link to this in the show notes. But lots of common sense type things about using frames and tables. Fortunately, there are some good validation tools out there, right, Sally?
Yeah, they're really good.
Too good sometimes, right?
A variety of them that you can check your website against.
Although, you just plug in your URL, right?
Right, exactly. And it'll provide a report back to you of areas of concern, areas, for instance, if you don't have alt tags on your images, it'll say, you know, you should add alt tags to make the images more compliant or whatever. But always it's going to be that human intervention. You know, you may get a long list, but you may realize that certain things are really taken care of, that the machine didn't read it exactly correctly or whatever. So, mm-hmm. You know, don't be too discouraged by the validator, but also use them as a good reference point.
Some of these devices that are used by people with disabilities basically screen scrape your particular website. And a good way to kind of test how compliant you are is by hooking up one of these, and they're free, and many of them are free. One's called Web Anywhere. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's kind of a beta version that will actually look at your screen and read it to you. And if it's too complicated, or if you've done some kind of fancy things that are going to confuse it, you'll know right away, because it'll just be gibberish that your speakers will be reading to you. So, you know, that's just one tool. And And there's a whole list of validation checkers. And again, as Sally mentioned, they'll catch everything. And you kind of have to, you could spend a lot of time getting, you know, totally compliant, but it's kind of the little things that would help, you know, most of all.
Right. And just one more mention that I'll make is, you know, we're right on the edge of a lot of this technology really helping us more and more. For instance, just in doing research for this show, I was reminded of a past listener comment from John Shoesmith, where he shared some closed captioning software he was using to add closed captioning to his sermons that he's posting online. And he was particularly excited about the deaf viewership that he was getting at large, not just within his own congregation or those associated with his congregation, but the fact that there's a lot of interest in the deaf community for closed caption sermons. And so I think we're going to see more and more of that. I found one Google tool that will closed caption YouTube videos on political speeches.
Sure.
And so just, you know, one little niche segment there, but I can see it just really taking off and growing so that more videos can be more automatedly closed captioned and stuff. So just a lot of exciting technology going on. I expect that, Martin, that we'll revisit this as more of that develops.
Oh, absolutely. We're just, I think, on the very edge of this. And as you'll hear in our interview with Pastor Ziemer, he's excited about the prospects there too. There are certainly challenges associated with that, certainly the cost of implementing some of these technologies, and just creating awareness maybe is the biggest one, you know, that there are needs out there. So with that, why don't we listen to our interview with Pastor Ziemer, who again is our administrator, our Wells administrator for special ministries. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Pastor Carl Ziemer of the Commission on Special Ministries for the Wisconsin Synod. Thanks for joining us, Carl.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you do for the Synod in your role as administrator for special ministries, and maybe a little bit about your background and how you kind of came into this position.
All right. Thank you for the invitation.
Sure.
First of all, special ministries is all about helping people with special needs. People in special circumstances also require help. Special ministries focuses on providing spiritual and some practical assistance to people who, for one reason or another, are not adequately served by their own parishes. And here's where we kind of try to fill the gap.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in special ministries really from the beginning of my ministry. When I was first in ministry, I was invited by the Minnesota District Presidium, the president of the district, to become the first Minnesota District coordinator for special ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way back when Pastor Nauman was president.
Right.
So I've been involved with that ever since. Special ministries encompasses eight areas.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit later on, I can go through some of those areas for you as,
sure,
as you have opportunity.
So was there something in your congregation that led you into special ministries themselves? Did you have people with disabilities that you needed to address or wanted to address? Or what was the gravitation toward that particular ministry?
I think at first, what pulled me into it was the fact that I was a campus pastor at River Falls, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 70s, early 70s, in late 60s, campus ministry was under special ministries.
Okay.
And that was the first connection. And then in addition to that, there were a number of people in our congregation. For example, I had a young little baby who was born with special needs.
Okay.
And that was an attraction. Drew the attention of some of the leaders to,
sure,
my services.
Now, you mentioned there are eight categories of ministries that special ministries encompasses. Maybe you can go over quickly what those eight are that you service.
All right, thank you.
That sounds like a lot.
And it is a lot. And I think one of the things, one of the difficulties sometimes is to try to really tell people all about all of them at once, and they kind of get overwhelmed.
Right.
And sometimes so do I.
Yes, I bet.
But Let's start with some of the most active. The first is military services. Wells provides a ministry by mail program and a civilian chaplain service to people around the world, literally, who are serving our United States military. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we have our special education services. There, we're trying to especially serve people who have family members or acquaintances with special needs, educational, intellectual needs. And we have a wonderful program called Jesus Cares, and we're associated with Jesus Cares Ministries that trains lay people to bring Jesus and all the comfort His Word provides to people with special needs.
Sure.
Another very active area of our ministry is called prison ministry. We now have about 50,000 inmates who are or have already completed one or sometimes all of our 17 Bible correspondence courses. In addition, we are also sending a jail ministry training team around the country to interest, to introduce, and to equip lay people especially for face-to-face jail ministry, and the Lord's been blessing that. I'm going to guess right now we're at about 90 people in Wells in 1 year who have been trained at least the initial training for jail ministry. The third one is health and wellness. In the past, we used to have a committee called Ministry to the Aging, and now health and wellness encompasses that, where we're focusing on ministry by and for seniors. We also have a parish nursing emphasis where we're trying to alert congregations to a real wonderful evangelism and mercy ministry, making use of trained nurses in their parish to minister to people, not only in their congregation, but to reach out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Deaf and hard of hearing is another committee that focuses on bringing God's Word and other assistance to people with hearing impairment or who are completely deaf.
And I think that's probably one of the ones that people think of most when they think of special ministries, deaf, hard of hearing, and those visual impairments too.
Right. You know,
those are the two big ones.
That's the next one. And the ministry on the mission for the visually impaired actually started as a directive of President Nauman way back in the 60s, mm-hmm. when he recognized that all of God's people need to be able to hear and read the Word of God, and so the ladies of the LWMS undertook that as their project initially. Now we have a special ministries building in South St. Paul. It's a brand new building. We were blessed to be able to receive all the debt. There is no debt on the building.
That's neat.
And we use about 75 to 100 volunteers who get out the Braille and the audio cassettes and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Another committee is our Mental Health Needs Committee, and this really is focusing on trying to train our pastors and teachers, our called workers, staff ministers, to recognize and appropriately respond to people who have mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot easier said than it is done.
Yeah.
And most people don't recognize how wide mental illness is affecting our country. The last area is the Care Committee for Called Workers. This is a national effort to encourage and enable congregations to give special care, kind of like a mentorship, not only to their pastors, but to teachers and their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
This committee has recently developed a DVD. You talk about technology.
Right.
That has been very effective in giving congregations the basic framework as to how to go about really being there for their called workers. And also it provides, in the DVD, for example, we give a variety of examples of kinds of visits that you might have with your called workers, kinds of issues to talk about, and especially the spirit in which to carry those conversations on.
That's a lot of work, and for your office is really only two people, you know, two full-time staff members, yet you must have just a an army of volunteers to be able to carry out these ministries across those eight areas.
That's a wonderful blessing that we enjoy. It's also a challenge.
Right.
The blessing, we do also have, in addition to my office, we also have our prison ministry administrator, David Knack, in New Ulm, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and he has two part-time secretaries.
But okay.
Just prison ministry alone, we're guesstimating that we have about 1,500 volunteers, everything from pen writers, pen pal writers, to your test correctors, to people who are preparing materials and sending materials and the like. So all in all, we probably have well over 2,500 to 3,000 volunteers that our various groups are working with.
Sure.
That's pretty amazing to hear you list off that long list of responsibilities you have, Pastor Zimmer. I'm just wondering if you've seen technology be a help to you in managing all of those volunteers and all of that responsibility.
Yes. I'd like to really highlight a number of different areas. One of them, our most recent efforts, is to try to get information out about these ministries to not only inform and equip lay people to carry on what they are already doing as volunteers, but to interest additional volunteers. Because, as you probably know, when you're hired to a job, you probably are likely to stay there for a long time. And volunteers have a great deal of freedom, and so they come and go. And that's not always a negative thing, because they are interested in one area of ministry for a while and then they move on to another.
Right.
But for example, we recently started a webcast that we call Love in Action, which highlights in about 10 to 15 minutes the various main areas of special ministries. The first one, we just focused on all of special ministries, kind of what I'm doing in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But then also we are zeroing in on other ministries. One of them, of course, was a prison ministry. Another is military services. We focused in on especially our ministry in Europe, our chaplaincy over there. And I'm told that we produced the webcast. We put it on Streams, mm-hmm. Which is our live online service. And then we also have produced them on DVDs and sent them out to congregations. And
they're more promotional or informational? What purpose do they serve?
Primarily informational.
Okay.
But what we're trying to do with them is to interest volunteers.
Okay.
And not only that, but a second thing is people are constantly telling us, oh, I didn't know that our synod did this or had that ministry. I didn't know that we were over in Europe. I didn't know that we send chaplains to Kuwait occasionally. I didn't know, and on and on.
Right.
And consequently, since we want people to know and also to get involved, the promotional videos that we're preparing. But in addition to that, there's another aspect. Many people don't understand that about 80% of the funds that really drive special ministries are not from our synodical budget.
Mm-hmm.
About 80% of our funding comes from direct gifts from Wells members. We do get some large grants. For example, in prison ministry, we have approximately a budget of between $400,000 to $450,000 a year, and only about $90,000 of that comes directly from our synod's budget. That's mm-hmm. the only area of special ministries that is directly funded by the budget.
Right.
Other than that. But in addition, as far as technology is concerned, we also are using technology and the web to for our military services, for example, we have an online referral system.
Right.
So that pastors or parents or spouses of people going into the military are able to quite easily register their young men or women. And virtually by the miracle of technology, at the same moment, we get it in our offices. And we put them on our mailing lists and provide this information also to our chaplains, who, when possible, try to make direct connection.
Right. Speaking of ministering directly to the people that you serve, is technology becoming more a part of the things that you can offer? You know, maybe it's to the deaf or hard of hearing, to the visually impaired, to people with other disabilities. How is, you know, we've talked about technology maybe marketing or promoting or informing the people, you know, your volunteers, people who contribute to them. But what about directly to the people that you're trying to minister to?
The answer, again, is positive. Actually, technology in one form or another has always been a key ingredient to our ministry. I can still remember, this is maybe 8-10 years ago already, when a pastor was asked to try to prepare a young girl for confirmation class, but she had multiple impairments, mm-hmm. and one of which was communicating. And so the pastor was quite innovative, and he went searching, and I believe he received some equipment. I know he did, that he accessed through special gifts and also through some community involvement, mm-hmm. by which he was able to communicate with his communication board, but it was an electronic communication board.
Okay.
And I have a picture still in my file of this girl on her confirmation day with this electronic communication board, with a smile as wide as from ear to ear, so
right.
to speak, and what a joy that was.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, in, for example, the mission for the visually impaired, we have been preparing braille materials that mm-hmm. not only go to many people in the United States, but now we're sending them actually to blind schools for the blind in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they just love our materials. They're primarily spiritual materials. But when we first started out, much of the blind braille materials were actually performed by hand.
Right.
The
I remember my grandmother doing that.
Yep, and with typewriters. And we have, by the way, licensed and accredited braillists that are serving as volunteers and have been for many, many years, over 30 years. But now our technology is such, for example, that we have brailing machines that are able to take the electronic data and produce it in braille on special paper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only brailed on one side of the paper, but it's brailed on both sides
is
of the paper,
right?
If
double-sided.
You can envision it, double-sided, simultaneously.
Okay.
And, of course, this has made our job in the brailing department much easier, much faster, and much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
The negative, of course, is that all of these technological tools are fairly costly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And we don't often think of it, I suppose, and most people, I suppose, wouldn't think of it. Not only do you have the cost of the initial purchase,
mm-hmm.
you also have to repair them and maintain them, and some of these are fairly costly to do that.
Right.
But
as our pastors are going about their work within the congregations, what kind of advice would you maybe give them in thinking about special ministry opportunities? When I was in the ministry, that was probably one of the things that I didn't think about as much as I should, and I'm sure there are many other pastors out there who are just trying to keep their head above water, get
yeah.
the sermon out, and you know, prepare the Bible class with probably not a lot of attention to special needs within the congregation or within the prospect community as well.
Well, thank you for that question, because to me that's so critical. Too often we think only of how can I reach the most people most often.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thinking really often eliminates people with special needs.
Right.
One of the things that if I get a single message across is really because of technology and through technology, we are able to proclaim the words of Jesus, the words of salvation, but also the words of comfort, the words of encouragement. And you think about people with special needs. I cannot imagine what it is like, for example, to be blind.
Right.
But for someone who was blind to suddenly be able to hear the words of Jesus because of audio tapes, or we're going, of course, toward the MP3 players
right.
and so forth toward that. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, and they can't thank us enough for it. Another technological advance would be, for example, I was just at a OWLS convention, Organization of Wells Lutheran Seniors, and the Mission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing paid for a cartist. Think of a person who is in the court system and who...
A stenographer,
but right. but who now projects the words as they're being spoken, literally, as
kind of closed captioning the
closed
event the
captioning
service, right.
immediately. Right. Well, at first the seniors who were at the convention they kind of looked and what's all this about and whatever and after the first workshop that was presented, the first presentation, one of the elderly men came up and he says, "Are all of the events going to be carded like this?" And I said, "Well, most of them. We only have one at each event, and they can't be all over the place." But he says, "I want to be so I can read what is being said. I can hear, but I can't hear well enough to stay along."
Right.
So my message to pastors would be, if you pay attention to your people, you will note that among the many, there are the few with special needs, whether it be visual impairment, hearing impairment, special education needs, or whatever. And for the most part, there is help out there. It may not be to the level or to the standard that you might hope, but just the fact that you take an interest in them.
Make the effort, I would think would go a long way.
Oh, it would be so encouraging to them and their families. The other thing is that we often fail to understand. We're looking, we're struggling to find prospects. Okay, with whom, to whom can we share the wonderful news of Jesus, you know? And, for example, the deaf community is estimated to be about 85 to 95% unchurched. Why? Because they go into the ordinary congregation and the deaf or the severely hard of hearing simply will not get anything out of the message.
Right.
At a deaf convention that I attended a number of years ago, there was a deaf speaker. And if you understand and know the situation well, oftentimes deaf people have difficulty speaking because they can't hear themselves, and it's a little distorted. Well, at that convention, the deaf speaker, who was quite accomplished, was being interpreted. In other words, someone was speaking for him. He was signing, and someone was serving as his voice. Well, one of the people in the congregation or the convention asked, "What one thing would you advise congregations to do if they really wanted to reach out to the deaf community in their city or their neighborhood?" And he said, "That's simple." He said, and I would give the same answer to all. He says, "It doesn't fit all congregations, but especially in large urban areas." He says, "Many think, well, if we offer an interpreted service where the service is signed by a sign language interpreter, that'll really attract the deaf." He says, "When people come to church, they want to hear more than the sermon. They want to experience everything.
Right.
They want to have Bible class. They want to have fellowship opportunities just like you." And he said, "But even more important than that, don't offer it once a month or once every, you know, on the fifth Sunday of those months with Sundays.
That's right.
To us, we think, well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, wouldn't you want to go to church every Sunday?" And believe it or not, we have very few churches in our synod that offer it every Sunday. On the other side, there are a lot of obstacles to that.
Well, it's an investment. You know,
it
obviously.
Is an investment.
Well, I think as congregations and schools are taking advantage of the new technologies that are coming out, and everybody's got a website at this point, and now we're going to see a lot more podcasts, and we're going to see videos like your commission is doing, probably not thinking about, you know, reaching that, you know, whatever small percent it is, you know, with disabilities that need to be addressed. So, you know, producing a video is fine, but without, you know, a transcript or a caption of some sort, those people who are deaf or are hard of hearing, you know, can't take advantage of that. And that's a segment, obviously, that needs to be reached. And as you mentioned, very high percentage that are unchurched.
Right.
So we've got some I think we have to think a little bit differently about this great thing of technology and say, yeah, it's great. We can reach a lot more people, but there's still a segment that's not going to be reached if you don't think through the process.
I have an exciting prospect that we're wrestling with right now. We've got a Wells businessman from the area who approached me, who is in technology, and he has a lot of contacts with the Asian market where they sell and purchase MP3 players, MP4 players, and the mm-hmm. like. And his idea is that we preload MP3 players, and we can get them very inexpensively, fairly high sophisticated one for $20 or so, and then even have inexpensive $3 speakers that go along with it, and provide those MP3 players to people who are entering the military. They're preloaded with Bible selections, with hymns, with devotions and everything. Right. And then as they go along, most in the military now have access to email. Well, you simply email them updated devotions or new things, and those little MP3 players they can carry in the field with them.
Mm-hmm.
They can have little earpieces if they want, obviously, which are not heavy and difficult.
Right.
We're looking for sponsors to launch a program on it, but our ministry to the military committee is really intrigued by this, and I think it's just another example of kind of thinking out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
How can we bring God's word? We can't always get our chaplains where the troops are, but this might be a way to do that.
Right.
Pastor Zemer, I understand you have an upcoming conference for special ministries. Do you have any tech topics on the agenda at your conference coming up?
Well, the Mission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, Dean Wigan and others are going to be presenting an entire workshop on the latest technological advances that will benefit people with hearing impairment and people who are deaf. In addition, that same committee is going to have a cartist there who will transcribe the spoken word onto the screen so that people who with hearing impairment will have it. The Mission for the Visually Impaired, I know, is going to be talking about visual impairment and how technology is advancing and how, for example, people with macular degeneration may be assisted or how technology is helping to detect macular degeneration in its early stages so that perhaps something might be done against it. In each area of special ministries, we are trying to at least keep our ears to the ground. And here I'd kind of like to extend an invitation to any of our listeners, if you have an idea as to how technology might be of help to us in ministering to a particular group of people with special needs, by all means contact me and we'll listen carefully and if at all possible respond positively to your suggestions.
How do we contact you, Carl? Is the website the best place to go to find out more information?
The website is excellent. Wells Special Ministries also is our telephone number is 414-252-5630. And if you want to contact me by email, that is also on the webpage.
And we'll put all of those in the show notes as well. Carl, thanks so much for your time. It's a field that it seems like we're just on the edge, you know, of as far as what technology can do to help people with special needs. And boy, it's exciting to look at all the possibilities. The challenge is just to coordinate it all, to find some funding for it, and to communicate the importance of it across the Synod.
So, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Sally, as I mentioned before, perhaps one of the biggest challenges that Pastor Zemer has is the need to make people aware of the need to think about special ministries and the special needs that might exist within a congregation or within the world and our prospects.
You know, I was just thinking as we listened to Pastor Zimmer about, you know, individual congregations may only have one or two people with special needs. And so it's very hard for us to, you know, that are down in the trenches to see the more global needs. So it's exciting that our Synod is committed to supporting these special ministries areas. That's a great way that demonstrates how our Synod does walk together, how, you know, we've committed to this and have a more centralized way to support the needs of special ministries and how technology is assisting with that.
Right. So watch for more things coming out of special ministries. We're going to stay with our accessibility-focused podcast today in our Picks of the Week. Right, Sally?
That's right. I found a really cool website. Dyslexia.com has a page related just to text-to-speech programs. So they offer links to three different programs that are free downloads on the internet that will read basically any type of electronic text file to you. I picked the first one on the list. It's called Help Read and downloaded it. Very small download, only 1.3 meg, so that's just tiny in comparison to various programs that are out on the web for download now. Quick install, and basically it read to me text files, web pages, and anything I copy to my clipboard. So if I just do a control C on anything at all, it was there to read it to me. And I actually have a little audio sample that we're going to play right now from Help Read.
Let's take a listen.
Episode 028, June 16, 2008. Following up on Well Stitch episode 027, Martin and Sally discuss systems for implementing getting things done, productivity principles, and wrap up their interview with Professor David Selno on the hybrid classroom.
Cool stuff that that is very easy and accessible to everyone to go ahead and download one of these text-to-speech programs. Maybe you want to play with each of the different options there on that page, but they're all free downloads and will make your computer do the reading for you.
Yeah, you kind of, as I was listening, you kind of have to listen in a little bit different way. You have to get used to the cadence and how things are pronounced, but I assume over time you're going to get it a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit easier to listen to.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some other picks or two?
Oh, I found a couple of other things on the web that I can share links to. I found a podcast called Blind Cool Tech, which just basically exists to share cool technology things in an audio format, particularly oriented for blind people.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll also include a link to that iGoogle gadget that I mentioned earlier in this show, which will close caption any political videos. It's really impressive to see. And like I said, doesn't necessarily apply to the ministry, but I think it's a good example of where we're headed in the future with closed captioning of videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are just a ton of tools out there. My pick is been around for a long time, and it's finally reached a point where I think the usability is good enough where people can implement this. It's called Dragon Naturally Speaking. It's a voice recognition piece of software. It's not free, and there's not even a free download. You have to actually go and purchase it. I've been playing around with it for a week or so, and essentially what it is a piece of software that loads and runs in the background. I believe it's Windows only, that runs on XP or on Vista. You load it and essentially turn it on, and you turn your microphone on. You need to wear a headset and a microphone. And it essentially interprets your voice commands or your or dictation and enters it into the computer. So you could respond to emails. You could manipulate your computer really in a hands-off way just by giving commands. Open this window, close that window. Perhaps the most useful function of it, though, is for longer sections of dictation. So if you're writing a paper or typing a long email, you can obviously speak, or most people can speak faster than they can type. And it's very accurate. It has a mechanism where it learns your cadence. It learns your diction. It learns how you say different things, and you can correct it over time. So it gets smarter and smarter. You do have to speak pretty clearly. You can't slur your words because it's obviously a computer, but it will make some corrections on the fly. So if there are particular names that you pronounce and words that you pronounce in a particular way, over time it will learn those and becomes more and more useful. The cost for the basic version is about $100. There's a premium version that works more in a more integrated fashion with some of the Office products. I believe that's $149 as well. We'll put a link to the website, the vendor website, in the show notes. But that's Dragon Naturally Speaking.
I can tell you from personal experience that my husband uses voice recognition to work on his sermons each week.
Oh, is that
and
right?
It's been just a wonderful blessing to him.
What does he use?
He used something, I think it's from IBM, called ViaVoice, but similar product to Dragon Naturally. And he outlines his sermon, and then he speaks his sermon as he would from the pulpit, and then makes edits to it. So it's a great way for him to do that weekly task of sermon preparation.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. For those pastors who maybe don't write out a manuscript, yet still want to provide a transcript of the sermon, that might be a great way to do that. Or even just plug in, if you're recording, which we would encourage all pastors to do, record your sermons, and many of them do for special ministry type needs and shut-ins. Run that through a voice recognition piece of software and have it output it, rather than have somebody sit down there and type it out, or you doing it yourself. So technology is really helping in that regard, isn't it?
Most definitely. It's exciting to see.
Yep. Up next, our Wells.net feature of the week. And no surprise, we're going to be looking at the Special Ministries website.
That's right, Martin. We can get to that at wells.net/jump/special-ministry. And there you're going to find just a lot of great information about all of those different areas of ministry that Pastor Zimmer outlined when we spoke with him earlier. Just an amazing menagerie almost of all the different things that they support there. It's really cool stuff. They have newsletters for the deaf, and also an active newsletter from the European Chaplain called Good Newsletters. And then they have different collections of information around all the different areas that they support: care for called workers, deaf and hard of hearing, mental health, military services. There's a page for the OWLS group, that organization of Wells seniors, and information for prison ministry and special education.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I found that was really interesting on the deaf and hard of hearing page, they actually have a listserv, and our Wells Tech listeners will be pretty familiar with a listserv because we also have a listserv for Wells Tech, which is basically a way for the community to interact with each other via email.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are deaf of hard of hearing, or have someone in your family or close to you that is, you might want to subscribe to their listserv. It's called Voice. And one thing they've been posting there recently is hymn interpretations. And I never thought about it, but you don't really literally interpret the words of hymns. Instead, it should kind of keep to the rhythm of the hymn and that kind of thing. So they've been posting those periodically on the Voice listserv. So just a lot of amazing resources out there for special ministries. And again, that's at Jump Word Special Ministry, and we'll have a link for that in our show notes.
And on that site, you'll also see a link to the Special Ministries conference that we referenced in the Zimmer interview.
That's right. That's coming up on October 3rd through 5th, and it's going to be at the Sheraton, Milwaukee, which is actually not in Milwaukee, but in Brookfield, Wisconsin, right there, a suburb of Milwaukee. Their theme for the conference is Blessed Are They, and the conference fees are very reasonable, $75 for the full conference or $60 for Saturday only. Now, that doesn't include your hotel reservations, but like I said, very reasonable and lots of great things going on. We'll put a link in the show notes to all the featured speakers and presenters. Lots of great things for those interested in getting more information about special ministries for your congregation ministry needs.
Right. On to community feedback. We had a number of people sharing thoughts with us this past week. One of them was James Wilcox, who was good enough to share. He's communicated with us before. He's encouraging us to consider a low bandwidth version of the podcast. He says, I know in our digital age many people have broadband, but I'm concerned you may be limiting the audience by not having a downsampled version of the podcast. I think a 16 kilobyte version, while of lesser audio quality, would be popular for users with dial-up or limited storage capacity. And he attached attached a link to a show that provides that. And I think that's a great idea. I'd have to admit I'm a beginner on the audio side, so I'm kind of making this up as I go, and we're just trying to get this thing out on a regular basis. But I think that's probably something that I'm going to begin to research, is how to skinny that down to a point where people on dial-up or who have maybe smaller capacity on their MP3 devices or whatever can download this. I think that's great advice. So thanks, James.
We also heard from David Schar. He's out in Hemlock, Michigan, and Mr. Schar was saying how much he's enjoying listening to the podcast as he has a rather long commute each day. And hopefully some others are listening in that time-shifted way, which is one of the exciting things about podcasts. He also had a few questions for us. One was related to finding our show notes page. We talk a lot about putting links on the show notes, mm-hmm. and our show notes are actually basically just our website. It's just kind of a fancy way to say our website. And our website you can find online at wellstech.wells.net. Doesn't start with a www, but just type wellstech.wells.net and you'll land on our show notes page. Mr. Schar's other question was related to some of the content that's out on our Streams media network, where we have podcasts available for download. And what you'll find there on a regular basis is daily Bible readings and devotions. And occasionally we also post sermons on Streams so that you can listen to sermons as well. And so what Mr. Schar wanted to know was how to tell pastors to submit more sermons and things like that. Mm-hmm. We actually have a separate webpage, and I'm going to include a link to that in the show notes, to our online worship webpage, where we have an exhaustive list of congregations that are publishing audio or video or both content on their own websites. And so if a pastor is, actively posting audio or video content, we'd love to link to it on our online worship page. And then from that online worship page, as we have the time and manpower, we're able to make contact with various pastors and add them to the Streams network, actually add their content on the Wells.net website. But you don't have to wait for Wells.net to get great sermons. You can get a multitude of them from our online worship page. So be sure to check that out.
Yep, great. And finally, we had somebody respond to our GTD conversation of last week.
That's right, Martin. Just a quick note, comment on the website with a link to a GTD tool called GTD Agenda, and we'll put that link in the show notes mm-hmm. as well.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the feedback, and it's so easy to provide feedback. We have many, many methods that will allow you to contribute to the show. Sally mentioned the website, wellstech.wells.net. You can obviously email us at wellstech@wells.net. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to play your voicemail on the air, 414-375-2334. Go to the website for many other ways to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Keep the comments coming. Finally, let's close the show with another Wells featured artist. This is the group called In His Service. The song we'll be playing is from their album In His Time, called Lost in the Night. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.